that about a guy named Chris I met. Thursday night we had the basketball tournament, and I had been praying earlier that God would bring maybe a girl or someone that night, someone that I could sit around and talk to and maybe get a chance to witness to. And I didn't see any girls. There were a couple of girls, but someone was already talking to them, and this was during the championship game. This black guy, he's about 35 years old, and he's huge, and he's bald, and I was scared to death of him. He had hurt his back earlier, so he was sitting out the game. And he came over and sat next to me, and I did not want to witness to him because I was scared to death, mainly. He came out and just asked me, what was this love of Jesus? And he said that he was a Christian and that he'd gone to church most of his life when he was a kid in Southern Baptist Church. And his questions weren't so much, why did God do this, why did God do that? He just wanted to know, how do I get this love of Jesus? You know, I see a love here tonight. And I was thrilled to death just to have a chance to talk to him about it. And he was so full of questions. And I talked to him for about 45 minutes. And near the end of the night, well, at the beginning, I didn't really feel his intentions were right. But near the end, I felt that he wanted to know more. And he started asking me what my phone number was and, you know, when I was going to be around. And I told him, if this was genuine and if he really wanted to know more about this, that he needed to talk to someone who could disciple him, you know, and help him out. And it just so happened that Peter from World Impact was standing right outside the door there. And he went out and talked to Peter for about 20 minutes and got information on the church and got his phone number and found out when church was. And I just kind of left the scene and went back in the gym. And I'm not quite sure if he actually accepted Christ or not, but he came in and thanked me later. And he said that he's bringing about 15 more guys the next night to the basketball championship. So you might want to pray for Chris. And I just want to thank God for that opportunity that I had.
Thank you.
Hi. I just wanted to praise God for the way He works. It's kind of funny because, like, we get up here and we tell our story, and you know, sure, I want to impress everybody with, you know, me and my friend going up to these gang members and telling them about the gospel, and they're all drinking there and they're half drunk, or tell these radical stories and, you know, things that have happened. But God's the one who's behind it all, and it's so exciting. As golly, we were with the kids ministry, and we had to go to a new place. It was Reseda Park. That's the name of the park. And it was like, we were just kind of checking it out, basically. And we went for one day, and we didn't know what was there, but we found out there's a lot of gang members there. And so we were scared, but eventually, through much prayer, and I have to put an emphasis on that, we were able to start a kids program. Well, first the kids left because there was a gang fight, and then they all came back with their parents. And it went smoothly. I mean, I was just kind of watching, going, wow, this is great. I mean, it was just, the parents were all involved, and we didn't have a lot of kids. I think there was 19 people total, kids and parents. But I was able to share the gospel with this Spanish lady, and she spoke English, and she was from Mexico City. And through the course of our conversation, I was learning that she was a Christian. She was Catholic background, but she was a Christian, and she said some key things. Like, she said that the little things I do, I mean, they're just little. It's what Jesus did for me. And I go, that's right on. Yeah. But through our course of our conversation, there was another lady that was there too, and she had a little baby with her, but she didn't speak Spanish. And I don't speak Spanish enough, I mean, well enough to speak real fast and speak to two people at the same time. So I was just talking to the one lady in English, and she would translate over to her. And so I know the other lady was thinking, because I asked her, you know, basically, what's going to get you into heaven? And so, you know, through relaying, I found out that I even heard her say in Spanish, she said that, because I'm a good lady and because I take care of my children. And it sure is a spiritual battle, because just right after that, she had to leave for some reason. And so she left. And I told the one lady that was a Christian, I said, you need to tell her, you know, that, you know, what's going on here. And so that's just part of what God did that day. Because after the kids program and after talking to these ladies, my friend and I, Marcus, we went up to some of the gang members that were in the background of the park. And we, there was probably only a couple that were gang members. Some of them were older guys, like at least in their 30s. But I came up to them and I had a pen like this. It has four colors on them. They're big and it has all the colors. I go, have you ever seen a pen like this? And some of them are like, no, how much you want for it, you know? And some of them have strong Spanish accents. But it's funny how God can use little things like this. And if you notice, there's like kind of like basically the same colors that we use for the wordless book. And you can kind of, you know, fit them in on there. And so I went through it. And like, to be honest, some of them were totally drunk. But there was two that I know or three that were listening for sure. These guys are, one guy was my age and he was totally listening. And as it kind of died down towards the end, you know, I told, you know, just saying that you need to make a decision. It just kind of died off. But the one guy, he was saying to me that his mom and dad tried to get him to go to church. And he said, you know, but I always had an excuse. I was tired or this or that. And I go, yeah, but when you get to, you know, to those pearly gates and God asks you, and he goes, yeah, I know, I'm not going to have an excuse. And it's funny because me and Marcus walked away when we left them our extra box of Twinkies, and they enjoyed those. But, you know, it's like sometimes we think that, you know, they didn't pray to receive Christ there. But golly, these guys, you know, even though they're kind of hardcore guys, that little moment of God's word totally, I know it totally penetrated their lives. It was just, it was intense how God's word, it just totally stuck. And he was looking at me right in the eyes and just, you know, talking with total sincerity. And I just praise God for that and for his protection, because, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. You know, there was just a fight right there a half hour or hour before. So, thanks.
Good morning. The basketball team, like, once again, we went to Watts, and a couple of guys, we split up and went to two different parks. And while we were at the park, we went Wednesday to play basketball, and while we played, we would spread the word. And Wednesday, the team that I was on, you know, we had won so many games that we just stayed on the court, and we didn't get a chance to spread the word of God. So we established a friendship. But Thursday, when we went out, you know, it was kind of funny because we were playing, and the team that I was on, we were still winning again the next day. But, you know, I had just came down, not bragging, I was just came down and hit a couple of three-pointers, you know, went to the hoop. And so it was like God had said, Melvin, I want you to go out and witness. And I said, no, God, hey, man, I just hit two three-pointers, I hit a layup, God, I'm on a roll, you know, don't stop me now, you know. So anyway, I went down the court, you know, and this dude just kneed me right in the knee, and it just hurt it so bad. So I guess God kind of like, you know, slapped the fool out of me and told me to get off the court, you know, go spread the word. So when I got off the court, I saw Matt Thomas, and Matt Thomas was talking to this guy. His name was Silver, and he was about 33, and he was just, you know, just sitting down, just looking at the game. So I walked over to with Matt, and we were spreading the word with this guy named Silver, and he was from Louisiana, and he was real open to what me and Matt had to say. And it was kind of funny because he said during the course of that week, there were a lot of people that was telling them about Jesus, like on the a Spanish lady had told him, you know, that Jesus loved him, and all these things had been happening. And so I just told him that, you know, it was predestined that in 1989, October the 4th, whenever it was, that he would be at the park talking to Matt Thomas and Melvin Adams about Jesus. And so we talked to him about it, and it was funny because when we were talking to him about Jesus, there was like two or three guys that kept walking by and they were saved. So that really helped us a lot. And so we asked him, did he want to say the prayer to ask God into his heart? But, you know, he said he didn't really want to do that because he was scared. You know, he didn't want to ask him into his heart and then do the same things that he used to do. But he had said that he had just got out of jail, and he called his parents and they told him to get into God. And he said that, like I said, he was scared. He just didn't want to ask God into his heart and then do the same things that he had been doing before. So we talked to him and we prayed, and I really believe that that night when he went home, I really believe that he asked God into his heart. And I just ask that all y'all keep him in your prayers. His name is Silver.
Thank you. Never ceases to amaze me the tools that God uses to communicate his truth. I mean, he used plants, he used stars, he used trees, he used birds, he used mud. We found out this morning he uses an ink pen. And miracle of miracles, he can even use basketball players. And so that's that's great. All right, let's sing another song. Sing hallelujah. From the dead.
Think about that song, he is worthy, and he is a God to be praised, even in all of my foolishness. I've been working with two guys, one 16, one 17, and I really love these guys, and I've just been going, God, how can I get into their peer group? How can I associate with them? How can I love them and teach them about you? Because they're disillusioned. They have nothing really to live for except for what their peer group can do for them. And Marianne and I, our car's been giving us brake problems. And it shouldn't be at this point because it's too low mileage. And these people are really sweet people. These are their sons, and they let me use all their tools. It's real close to here, and I couldn't get the brakes fixed. So one night I was there real late, and I just go, God, I'm kind of tired. I've been up since 4:30. I go, is there anybody out here at 10:30 at night that can help me? And about 15 minutes later, Jorge and Demetrius, these guys don't even know this, came walking up. And I didn't see them from the road, and they go, "Hey, Victor," and I didn't know who they were. And all of a sudden, Jorge comes and goes, "Well, doesn't this go on this, you know, can't get on?" I go, "No." I go, "Jorge, there's a lip on this drum, and it won't go back on. I've been working on this thing for like 3 days." And Jorge comes up, and I go, "Jorge, you're balancing it right." And so Jorge goes, no. He keeps pushing, boom, puts it right on. And all of a sudden, I heard yelling in the house. I said, "Jorge is out here doing things for me." And I went inside. I just quickly went inside. And I was talking to him earlier that night because they were really mad at each other. And here they're screaming and cussing at each other. And I just go, "You know, what are you guys doing to each other? They're brothers." And they just really one had a total fit. And so I said, "Excuse me," to their friends. I go, "We gotta go talk." So we went in the room, we started praying. And I said, "You guys, you know, come on, don't you love each other? I mean, you're gonna be about 2 or 3 more years, and you're gonna be moving out of the house. You're not gonna see each other, and you're gonna miss each other. So why don't you live in love with each other now?" So we went, we prayed, and the older ones really hardened at heart. Couldn't say much, and the younger one, he's going through a lot of problems, but he looked at his brother and he goes, "I love you." And the brother looked back at him and said, "I love you." At that point, their friend came up that was ahead of the peer group, but I didn't realize it. And he goes, "What are you guys doing?" And he's like, really, the vibes, or whatever you want to call it, he didn't like it. So all of a sudden, he went around to the front of the house, and I was still praying with these guys, and he's yelling at their friends in the front of the house. He goes, what's going on here? What is going on in there? So the Lord just led me right outside. I said, "Do you want to know what's going on in there? Ask me." And we got talking. I said, "Do you know Jesus?" And he's a Spanish gentleman, and his name is Mike. And he starts going, "Get out of here. Don't give me this." I said, "Do you know Christ?" And he goes, "I don't want to hear anything from you." And I said, "Okay." So I went to my car and I got the Bible. I go, "How about the Bible?" And so, to make a long story short, he had a friend in there named Carlos with him. And we spent about 3.5-4 hours in the garage. And Carlos goes, "I'm sick of the world." He goes, "I gave up everything for a year and it didn't do me anything good." I said, "Well, Carlos, I can promise you one thing. If you get to know Christ, you won't have to give up anything as far as what you gave up before. But you can come and know Christ and live for Him." And I go, "He is your comforter." And he goes to me, he goes, "Well, how do you be saved?" And I just got to tell him. Friend Mike kept going, I want to know. And I kept going back to everything to the Bible. There, none of them came to the Lord yet. And it is a battle. I pray for them, the more I pray for them, the more I'm in the battle, the more things go wrong in my life. But that's okay, because it shows me that I'm on track. Because I really do love these two guys. And they've been so disillusioned. And I just want to read something to you. "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Because there's nothing else, you guys. Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Doesn't matter how long. But if you really have a love and a sincere passion, nothing is in vain. I want to let you know too that I don't know a lot of you, but I love you. Let's unite. Let's come together and really love each other. Let's don't fight behind each other's backs. Come together and love each other. And I'm guilty. And I'm guilty tonight because I kind of just pleaded out to God. And I go, God, is there someone out here that can help me? I didn't really think anybody would come up. So I had to ask God to forgive me. But let's unite more than we ever have.
I spent 7 weeks in over the summer in Pasadena. For those of you who don't know, this particular section is the highest daytime crime rate of all of California. And over missions week, I decided to go back and spend some time there. And God taught me a lot. God taught me that evangelism isn't a one-time deal. True evangelism, as in Matthew 28, is consistent, it's a commitment, and it's not something of, do you know Christ? Okay, no, goodbye, see you later. It's like what Victor was talking about. And it's just been teaching me lately that if I am to go and spend any time anywhere, whether it be Pasadena, that I'm to have a commitment to God in order not to back off, to love Him to pieces, because that's a part of the world that is dying for love like no other part that I've ever seen. And it's just been incredible just to go back and to see people who still, after 7 weeks, won't accept Jesus Christ, won't understand Him as God, won't take Him as Lord of their life. But yet, that makes no difference, because God has called me and every other one of us in this room to spread the Word of God. And whether they accept or whether they don't, that is our duty, that is our responsibility, that is our command. And even in spite of people not accepting, God in His mighty and gracious way can encourage and can give us a vision too. Give us a vision for whether it's at work this afternoon or whether it's summer in Pasadena with people who do not know God and many who do not want to know God. And whether I go back again or whether I stay there for the rest of my life, I know that God has called each and every one of us to evangelize and spread the Word of God, whether we get accepted or rejected, loved or hated, shot or not. We are to obey God's command. And His promise along with His command is, lo, I am with you, even unto the end of the age.
Victor said, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain. When I was a brand new Christian, one of the men who were instrumental in leading me to the Lord took me out on the street one Saturday morning to just share the gospel by passing out tracts with him on in a neighborhood. And while we were doing that, there was a group of guys that were drinking early in the morning. They were real rowdy. They were real abusive to us, throwing bottles at us, beer cans at us, trying to spit on us. And finally, this guy I was with just said, well, here, just let me leave this with you. And he gave the tracts to a few of the guys, and they stuffed them in their pockets. Some of them ripped it up. 4 years after that, I went home between my junior and senior year from Tennessee Temple and went back into a neighborhood to promote an activity that was going to take place in the church that I was involved in. And I walked up to a young man on a Saturday morning again. He was washing his car, and he was obviously getting ready to go somewhere, and it all taking great pains to make sure his car was clean. I asked him what was going on. He said he's getting married. He's on his way to Bible college. And so I said, well, share with me how that happened. And the same guy that took me that very first month that I was saved to give out the gospel was with me that morning as well, and he was on the other side of the street handing out flyers. And he said, well, see that guy over across the street, Scott Smith? About 4 years ago, a bunch of us were up in the street corner, drunk,
angry, throwing bottles at him, and Scott stuffed a track into my hand, and I stuck it in my pocket. My mom took my pants off, started to wash them, took the track out, stuck it on my dresser, and a few days later I read it, and then went to talk to somebody about that and got saved. So it's incredible how that even when we don't see immediate fruit from our works, we don't see people immediately responding to the gospel, again, which is evidence of the spiritual battle that we're involved in, we know that our labor is not in vain. And we need to be taught by the Holy Spirit to continue to live the Christian life even when it seems as though there is no immediate fruit in the people's lives that we're trying to touch. Let's stand together and sing a song, Teach Me to Live.
Not all of you are aware of this, but some of you are. About a week before Missions Conference, Majesty, we went down to Juvenile Hall in downtown L.A. We were invited by a ladies group from Grace Community Church to do this. What we did, we sang about a half an hour, 45-minute concert to these girls. They were eating lunch with the ladies from Grace Church. And these were the hardest of the hardest. These girls, they're 12 to 18 years old who had committed felonies, bank robberies, violent crimes, what have you. And to see them walk into that room, it was scary. It's kind of like, well, we're going to be singing to stone walls here. You could see the coldness in their eyes and the, the cool sway of, don't give me any of this type attitude. But yet, as people prayed, as these ladies shared their lives with these girls, as we sang songs about the hope that is within us and the hope that is in Jesus Christ, it was just incredible to see the transformation that occurred in their eyes and their faces and their mannerisms. There are a lot of powerful forces in this world, in this universe, natural forces, but yet there's nothing as powerful as the Holy Spirit and the prayers of His people. And this kind of reminds me of one thing that I see in a lot of Christians, in myself a lot of times, is that we go through life going through the motions. Christianity can get such a routine, such a ritual, can become so unrealistic without joy, without meaning, without purpose. It's just something we do because it's the way we've been brought up since we were 4 years old. But yet, if there are any of you who are thinking that, if Christianity is not real to you right now, if there is no joy, just look at the lives of the people that we are talking about, the lives that are transformed by the Holy Spirit and the energy placed in those transformations by the prayers of God's people. And then there's no doubt in my mind that Christianity is real, that the faith that we have is real, and there is joy in that, there is hope. About a week after we sang this concert, we got a letter from the leader of this ladies' group, and she had said that two of these 16 or 18 hard criminal girls had given their lives to Jesus Christ that morning. And almost all of the other ones had made evident professions that what they had heard, what they had seen, they wanted to know more about. It was incredible just to see the transformation that took place that morning.
Hi. I just have felt the need to say something while I have the opportunity to the Master's College athletes. And I'm not playing this year due to a variety of circumstances, but I've played here for 3 years. And I was struck by what Dave said about the guy who came on campus searching for something. And I would dare to say that there's guys coming on campus in the forms of refs and in the forms of other people on other teams, whether or not they're from Christian schools, looking for the same thing. And I hardly feel qualified to say anything because I have been a bad example at different times during the 3 years that I played. I had a ferocious temper a lot of times. And yet, I know that my heart is with the athletes because I know how hard it is. You commit an entire season, and you don't always see a fruit. Maybe if you're a bench warmer, or you get hurt, or if you're just plain mad at the coach or whatever. And yet God knows where you are, and God knows you're playing on the team, whether you're sitting on the bench or not. And I was not right when I lost my temper, and I believe that I failed in my witness with a lot of people. And I know I fail with refs. And this is also an encouragement to you fans. Whether or not you think people can hear you, they can, because I heard people when I was out there on the court. I heard everything they said about the refs and everything they said about me and the other team. And I'm just encouraging you, Christianity is necessary in our sports. If we're pursuing excellence in our body, that's not enough. We need to be excellent spiritual leaders. And I know we have excellent athletes. I've seen them on the soccer field and the basketball court, volleyball, softball, and track. And you guys have, God's given you as much as God's given those who can sing or those who can write. And I just wanted to say that to you. Just remember that right now, one of America's number one idols is sports and the teams. And I feel like so often Christians are reducing themselves to playing America's way. Right now, kids are aching for Christ, and you can use sports for the right reasons. And if I have a desire someday to get back into sports as a coach or something, and I'm going to teach my girls how to be a true athlete, which is keeping Christ first. And I don't care how good they are or how bad they are, whether they're on the bench, no matter what, I want them to respect the coach, respect the players and the refs, and live for Christ. So I just wanted to encourage you in the athletics.
Certainly a powerful and relevant way to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to our culture, athletics. We want to sing one more song. We're just about having to come to a close here this morning. John Piper, in his book Desiring God, says that the cross of Christ is the wisdom of God by which the love of God saves sinners from the wrath of God, all the while upholding and demonstrating the righteousness of God. What a wonderful and powerful message that all of us have and that all of us should be touching our world with. Let's stand together one last time and sing I Love to Tell the Story.
I love the story.
love you, Lord. And get this slide. Time, if you'll bow your head and just really make this your prayer that the Lord will make your life a sweet savor to Him, a life that is honoring and glorifying to our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning's been a wonderful time to talk about our love for the Lord and to exhibit that love by our desire to share His gospel. I love you, Lord. Father, we do love you this morning, and we just want to thank you so much for the brothers and sisters in Christ this morning who shared how you have been working in their lives. We thank you for their courage. We thank you for their honesty. We thank you for the simplicity that they have in trusting you and wanting to live for you and to tell others about you. Lord, what a thrilling thing it would be to just see this kind of movement and renewal just continue to grow and to sweep this campus. That just because Missions Conference has concluded, that our desire and energy to go out with your message will not conclude as well. Lord, give us wisdom, give us discernment to see opportunities in our lives. The people in our jobs, the people that we touch as we go shopping, the people that we see on the ball field, as it was mentioned this morning. Lord, just help us to always be mindful of how needy the world is. And as we started this morning with the thought, how much real and how powerful the spiritual warfare that we fight is in this world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.